Don't just sit there. Call in now and voice your opinion. 781-837-4900.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And just a quick note, one of our sponsors that we have in here from time to time, and eventually Joe will get over and taste some of the cuisine over there, McGuigan's Pub. As you remember, we had a couple of weeks ago, we actually had Richard Rosen on, and we were talking about his halfway to St. Paddy's Day event. And I believe that they're changing it to Tuesday, September 17th. So if you're somebody who was looking to go to that event.
I actually am looking forward to going to it, so...
Well, we're hoping to get Richard on probably once again, probably before that. So keep that in mind. Joining us in studio right at this moment, we've been blessed to have a number of different doctors join us and talk about a variety of things. And I actually get an email this week of someone who was saying, hey, you know, if you're looking for a topic, we have the perfect person when it comes to back to school, but more so, not so much the children and what they deal with going back to school, but the parents and them pacing themselves. And I was introduced to Dr. Kate Roberts, and Dr. Kate Roberts has a lengthy resume. Welcome to Monday Night Talk. Doctor, how are you?
It's great to be here. I'm great, thanks.
She drove all the way down from the North Shore.
That
is a hike. My office is on the North Shore, and I know what that can be like.
She made us feel good because she said, I got a lot done in the car on the way down here.
That's right. So got to use that time.
Got to use that time. use it wisely. But not only are you somebody who specializes in this more than 25 years, but you're a blogger for Psychology Today. You've done more than 60 interviews for what, TV, radio, magazines. I think you've been... in Time and parenting magazines? What's that like to have somebody write an article with your opinion or your thoughts on something when it comes to parenting?
It feels great to want people to hear my opinion, just like it feels great to be here tonight, because there's a lot to say about the topic of parenting and children today.
Yeah, it's changed over the years, has it not?
It has changed, and some ways it hasn't. I mean, I think that parents have always been very invested and involved in their children, and children have always had, you know, back-to-school transition and anxiety. I think there are other factors today which make it a little more challenging. Things like there's a lot of information through technology and internet and how do parents manage it, and there's a lot of, you know, we live in a state where the curriculum, the Massachusetts curriculum frameworks is... probably the most competitive state in the country.
MCAS.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of states have the state exams, but MCAS is more rigorous, and so our standards are higher. And I think that, you know, there's a lot to do in the school day for children. There's less recess time, and, you know, there's more homework, and so that's a lot of managing. And it's been a short summer. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like it went by pretty fast.
Well, because it never really got started, in my opinion.
Well, but here's the odd thing is I'm noticing more and more a lot of school systems, whether it's in this state or around the country, aren't waiting until after Labor Day. You're seeing a lot of schools that are opening up before Labor Day. Is that correct?
They're opening up before Labor Day, and, you know, again, in Massachusetts, we went till the end of June because we had a lot of snow last year, remember?
Mm.
I mean,
oh,
the previous year, we didn't have hardly any snow, but last year, we had 5 snow days, so we went into almost June, so it was an 8-week summer, and that's... I don't know if you're aware that most schools have summer packets of homework and things like that to do over
summer
the summer.
Summer reading?
Yeah.
I couldn't endure that. If you made me like read a book during the summer.
Even in college, I had summer drawing projects as an architecture student.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing I will never miss is having to get ready to go back to school. I'm just happy those days are over.
Yeah, I mean, we just have to get ready every day, but...
Yeah. As Kevin said earlier, at least there is continuity.
That's right.
But do you feel that the stress on both sides, not only... for the student, whether it's somebody who's going back to elementary school, middle school, high school, or even college, Or is it equal amount of stress on the parent as well?
I think it's equal and different. I think that there's a real excitement for kids to go back to school because they get to see their friends and they thrive on routine and so forth. And there's some excitement for parents too because they also can get back into their routine. They're less accountable during the school day hours. On the other hand, you know, there's a lot to do as a parent. You've got to make sure that the supplies are done. As you were saying, you were at Staples.
My God, yeah, I had to go into Staples today for work stuff. I had needed to get three binders, and they were in the back of the store. And to get there, it was like an obstacle course. Students were raiding the shelves. Then they were bringing boxes out to restock the shelves. And the kids were running around. The lines were down the aisle. And I'm like, I need three binders, and I have a 12:30 appointment. It was just ridiculous.
Bad day to go to Staples.
It really was. But that's
you got to plan ahead, Joe.
Well, I know. But I didn't, you know, it just was kind of interesting because as, you know, I've been out of school now for 2 years, college, and it doesn't faze me anymore, you know, the whole going back to school thing,
right,
until you get into a situation like that where you all of a sudden realize what is going on. Oh, yeah, it's back to school time.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's a shock. I think it's a shock to the system. And we were talking off air for a few moments, and you look at when a child is in school, there's structure. You know, when they come home, what they're gonna do. You know, parents. I'm sure every parent has a different guideline. It depends on whether they're in sports or different activities on top of after school activities, on top of doing their homework, maybe doing some chores around the house. And then being in bed by a certain time compared to when they're out of school in June, everything's kind of relaxed somewhat, and it's not as rigid. And maybe, you know, the child isn't in bed at a certain time.
That's exactly right. You know, there's a lot less to do. There's a lot less structure. I think that parents have tried probably to get back into the routine, get the kids to bed earlier, try to get them up earlier. It's a good idea. And just to ease into it, realize that everything isn't going to be like settled in a couple of days. It's going to take a while to iron out some of the kinks. I know a lot of the sports schedules aren't even out yet, and so that has to be factored in. And a lot of those things are, you know, very involved, and so parents have to work out carpools and work out transportation, and then there's the whole introduction of technology. More and more schools are taking on iPads, and every student has to have one, and that's, you know, it's not, there's the expense component, so I shouldn't say it's not the expense, but it's also the knowledge and management of it. Okay, so what are you going to do with it after school hours? Who's going to have access? And are you going to have, you know, software, you know, monitoring on it? And are you going to know the password?
What
and
is
all
this
that
app doing
stuff
on here?
You know, exactly. And so I find that parents are really overwhelmed by that aspect, which, you know, when I was a kid, we didn't really have to contend with that.
Yeah, you're more worried about making sure you get your books covered and you didn't lose the book.
Books covered. I know, they always used to.
Oh, if you didn't have it covered.
Yeah.
Paper.
If you didn't have it covered, it was, oh, you're coming in for a detention if you don't cover the book. It's like, give me a break.
That.
Sure. Yeah, make sure you return it in good condition and
that's right,
not wrecked or didn't get run over by a bus four or five times. I mean, there's a lot to it. So what I'm kind of gathering is that you think that parents should probably set themselves up where they're not rushing to put things into place, but that they should kind of have some kind of a stick-to-itiveness, guidelines.
Somewhat of a consistency and you know, expect some glitches, try to be patient, and try and help their child to really have the same outlook and mentality. You know, it's not going to be solved in a day. So they're not going to feel totally comfortable, even though maybe they've been in school 10 years now, on the first day of school or even the first week, because it's a new set of teachers. It's a new grade. Maybe their best friend isn't in their class or, you know, something like that. So give them some time to get some adjustment. And kind of parents, what they can do is kind of help their kid, you know, go with the flow, not overreact.
Yeah, don't you think, I was just going to say, don't you think it's sometimes the parents that amp up the whole beginning of school, maybe getting into the year, even during the year? My mom is a guidance secretary in Marshfield, and she all too many times, she has the parents coming in, putting a scene on about something that's not going right, and from her perspective, it always goes a lot rougher on the students' end when the parents react in an amped up way like that versus when they come in and go, look, either A, you know, is there anything you can do, or just coming in to solve issues without having that type of amped up personality or message to anyone in the school system.
Right. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that, you know, that's kind of human nature. I mean, even think about it for ourselves. You know, if we have something that's not ideal, we don't want to go home and hear our partner say, you know, well, that's really terrible, you know, in their own way. We got to really, you know, see if we can change that or whatever. Because let's face it, you're not going to change a kid's teacher. And I'm not trying to knock the parents, because I think that, you know, I'm a parent. I know how hard it is. I think that parents do the best they can. But it is a question of kind of doing some perspective taking a little bit of a, you know, step back and saying, okay, well, I understand this is a disappointment, or this isn't what we had hoped for. Now, how am I going to get through it and help Johnny get through it too? What's the best approach for me to help my child have a better attitude about a situation we can't fix?
Right. Mm. And what I was going to mention, I mean, my daughter's 15, and the thing that I find funny, I mean, she is now a sophomore. She's in 10th grade. And last year, she had the jitters of being going from middle school to going to high school. And it's a big jump. It's a big leap. And you're going from the small pond to the big pond.
Yeah.
And you can get lost quickly in
the
big
lake.
Pond. Well, that's the analogy.
Yeah.
But now, after a year of getting acclimated to the school system, it's almost funny. I see her on Facebook, and she's stressing because it's so many freshmen.
I
had a chance to talk with her over the weekend. I go, remember, you were once one of them.
Yeah.
Be kind to them and help them out, and it'll go a long way. You know, you're kind of like their peer mentor, you know?
Yeah.
Help them out if you can, because you were that lost soul and, you know, caught up in all the chaos of a big high school.
How do you think, thinking back to my experience today being in Staples and seeing just the, I mean, in a lot of cases, it really was
little
the most...
like that stick with Joe, as you could tell.
Yeah, well, yes, it did. The most, I mean, I saw the piles of just nothing that were piled on the counter being at the checkout, notebook, but just, you know, egregious amount of notebooks and pencils. And how much do you think the retail factor cranks up the whole going back to school piece?
I mean, I think it cranks it up a lot. I saw, you know, when you talk about the retail factor, there's a lot involved in that. HuffPost, they reported that your average family spent $688 last year on back to school.
Oh my.
So, you know, that's a lot of money. And I think there's a lot of marketing that goes into that. You know, the best products, you know, there's competition. You know, my son has to have quartet markers. You know, the other kind isn't good enough, that kind of thing.
And, oh, my goodness.
And, you know, so it's sort of like parents need, again, to take some perspective on that. And I think the schools also buy into that, because I think that, you know, when they send home these supply lists, they're fairly daunting. And some schools actually have this system where sort of everyone pays a certain amount and they get all the same generic products. And so they kind of take that off the table. And if parents are willing to do that, I think that makes it more equal and it's less of a sort of a chaotic frenzy in the beginning of the year. But that doesn't work for all schools. So, you know, I empathize with you. I mean, I was at the store too this week, and it was hard to find things, actually, because things had been so run through.
Well, that's what I was worried about, is not being able to, if I have a particular binder I've been using for a product, and it was there, but it was, I mean, it really was just insane. Things being pulled off the shelf and boxes being thrown around, and it was crazy.
What we'll do is we're gonna put the number out there. I'm going to ask you, Doctor, in just a moment, to give us some of the parents who are listening tips as to how you can how they can make it through the school year.
Sure.
Even keel, but we'll give the we'll put the number up. Somebody might have a thought provoking question they could put to you that'll help them, you know, with their child get through the school year.
I'd love to hear from them.
781-837-4900. And the plan is we're going to have you back in from time to time to talk about whether it's school issues, parenting issues, what have you. But give us some tips in regards to help us at this stage of the school year and maintain right up until June.
Well, I think that parents need to try to be realistic so that, you know, kids are right in front of them. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do these other five things. And I think that parents need to know their limits so that I think for your average family, knowing the curriculum of Massachusetts, knowing the expectation, I think that, you know, homework has to be a priority. Family time has to be a priority. I was just speaking with a mother today who said, you know, that if her children do the activities they want to do, they might have one night where they're all home for dinner. And I think that parents really need...
Do people do that anymore?
I really think that parents need to find some time to be home for dinner. A couple dinner hours a week. You know, maybe it's not the time that it is in the summer, like 6 o'clock. Maybe you have to push it back to 7. But I really think that that's sacred time. And it really sets the tone for how people are going to communicate and work together. If you're not checking in regularly, you know, a lot of times parents will say, well, I didn't know they had homework. They told me it was all done. Well, this is the kind of thing that parents need to be monitoring. They need to be on top of. And they need to express their concerns in a way that doesn't make their child feel micromanaged. I don't know if you ever felt that way, you know. I mean, you're right out of college, so, you know, but, you know, schools, they don't get involved at the middle school level. So it's between the student and the teacher unless the parent is actively checking in. And I find that at middle school, that's when a lot of students start to fall through the cracks. And, you know, I'll hear parents say, well, we lost a whole semester, or we lost a whole year because I actually believed Johnny that he didn't have any homework or his homework was done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the times, you know, it's interesting because, again, my mom sees some of this stuff that comes through. Don't you think that a lot of the times it is more the parents' issue than the schools when it comes to that?
Well, yes, I think that parents really need to try to find a way to balance out their involvement with their child's homework and giving them independence. You know, middle school is a great time for independence, but it's not like kids know that school that set of skills off the bat. Parents need to coach them. They need to monitor it and then back away. So I think they need to be prepared for doing some of that. They need to know that their kid is not going to necessarily, you know, be psyched about getting into the after-school homework routine. On the other hand, you know, you can be lax in the summer, but if you don't set the right tone, I guess that's what I'm trying to say with these different examples. The tone is imperative at the beginning of the year. I feel like kids are very malleable and very adjustable, and if you set the tone right, they're going to follow suit. If you're wishy-washy and inconsistent, then they're going to follow that. And that's not what you want. It's going to be more work for everybody.
I guess I have to ask is... consistency. That's what you're preaching here is.
I am.
Consistency, whether it's vacation. We know that there are a number of vacations that go on throughout the school year.
Yep.
Whether it's a day off. So you're saying consistency is something that parents should try to practice.
I think consistency around routine. I think consistency around sleep. I think consistency around regular activity. I think consistency around breakfast in the morning. You know, I think there's just some basic stuff. Like maybe it's okay in the summer for your kid to wake up and miss breakfast because they're having lunch. But now, you know, in school the year, they need to eat before they leave the house. Find a way to do it. Find something they're going to take with them on the bus and eat if they don't have time at home. But make sure it happens.
What's some things that parents can do where... I know one of the things that you have in some of your notes is that... if parents don't watch themselves, they'll end up burning out.
Yeah.
And then they become ineffective as far as watching over their children and how their progress is in school.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad you brought that up. I can't really emphasize that enough because, you know, Jennifer Hatmaker's, you know, blog that went viral last spring where she just kind of, you know, wanted to give up. This is a mom in Texas who wrote a blog. She ended up on the Today Show, basically just saying, I'm the worst end of the year mother ever. And basically, I think it was May, and she was done with school. And so I guess it's balance. It's, you know, we can't go over the top for the duration of the school year. So we have to kind of realize that we're limited as parents in terms of how much resources we have, and don't compromise all of our needs, and don't pace ourselves. So what that looks like is take some time for yourselves, and if it means that your kid can't get a ride every day to every place they want, then they can't. But in the end, it's going to be much better for them if you're consistently available throughout the school year than if you're, you know, on top of everything 150%, and then, you know, come April after the second vacation, you know, you're basically ready to just say, I'm done. School's over. Because school isn't over, actually. In April, it's ramping up.
Mm-hmm. And this Miss Hatmaker, actually, her story actually went nationwide. I think she appeared on the Today Show,
she
right?
She appeared on the Today Show, yeah, because there were so many parents that could relate to that mentality. And if you burn yourself out, like I said, by April, I feel like we still have MCAS in May. Yeah. We have final exams. We have end-of-the-year sports. We have final projects, class trips. I mean, there needs to be a reserve for the end of the year. I mean, for some reason, they throw it on thick to everybody at the end of the year.
Right.
I don't know why, but that's the way it is.
Is it because maybe at the beginning they're conservative, and as they go along, they realize that maybe they need to start turning it up a little bit and adding additional things?
I think it is exactly that. And I think that people don't realize that until they're right in that moment and they're already burnt out. Mm.
Do you think in regards to the homework and the load of homework, because I know that's always a concern for both going back to school just during the school year, but do you think it's really, there's a couple factors that I think might be involved in this, and I just wanted to know your opinion. Is it because kids are excelling and moving into the higher, like, honors courses, and they're getting more homework? Do you think it's that kids are getting the same amount of homework, but they're being a little bit more of a baby towards the amount of homework? Or do you think that just overall, regardless of whether it's higher, you know, moving up in classes, or you know, softening up a little bit on it, there is just more of a workload? What is your opinion on that?
Well, you know, I am also a school psychologist, so I do have a little bit of knowledge about this, I think. And I think that the curriculum has changed from MCAS. I think that it's more rigorous, and that there's not necessarily more critical thinking, but that there's more information. So that with more information comes more homework.
So let me kind of add on to that piece is, do you think with the critical thinking that we're losing our arts and science piece, but gaining our mathematics and English, say, in maybe arts and technology? Are we losing the focus on that and gaining focus towards?
I actually think our global economy has a lot to do with it. I think, you know, we set our curriculum as to trying to educate our children with the ever-changing.
To keep up with.
I mean, we're no longer a country that manufactures. We're more of a service-based country. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to educate our children to succeed when they come of age, and, you know, when they reach 18 and aspire to go to some of the best schools to be able to, you know, be able to sustain as an adult.
I know, and I don't want to move off topic, but I think, you know, I look at myself as an example going through school and going through college and high school and all this.
I just want to say is that somebody has already picked out that they think that you might have a binder fixation. One of someone on Twitter has said that that they suspect you may have, you might want to see.
You've
see
talked some, about this before.
You might no,
see,
no.
You might want to seek some help. You have a binder fixation.
I am very organized, and by doing that, I have probably bought about 60 binders in the last 2 months.
So you're just confirming that.
I am. But I've had to because the companies I work with don't give them to me, so I have to buy them. But the point I'm trying to get to is, really quickly, is that, you know, I went through all the school levels, college and everything, and everything I do now I learned from experience, not in school. And I
school
think
hard knocks, is that what you say?
I ran a business, learned how to do that. That's what I do now. I'm in sales, and it's from my experience. And and even the spelling and kind of the English piece to it, I think I did learn that in school.
Okay.
But Kevin can vouch for the fact that I'm an awful speller. I can't spell if my life counted.
But he knows
how
to articulate a point real well, as you can already
and
say.
And he's a good salesperson.
And I buy binders.
I got to thank you so much. If folks want to find out more, learn more about your tips as far as heading back to school to prevent any burnout as a parent as the school year kind of drones on.
Absolutely.
Or anything else that you're working on, how can they find out more about you?
So it's www.drkateroberts.com. Real easy.
That is real easy.
I'd love to hear from people, and I hope I do.
Okay. What about as far as some of your blog? Is that on there too?
My blog is on there. Like I said, I have a column in the Salem News. It's out on Fridays, okay. And there's a bunch of tips in that as well.
Excellent. Well, we're going to look forward to having you back, whether you're in studio or calling in, and we'll pick out different things. As you see, Joe usually isn't this talkative, so he must really, really like you as a guest.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
I just had a bad experience in regards to this today, going to Staples.
Yeah, I know. It's called a binder fixation. You've already been.
I've been called out.
You've been called out. Thank you once again, Dr.
Thank Kate. You for having me.
We are going to step aside just for a couple of moments. When we come back, we go to another expert, automotive expert, Dr. Junior D'Amato, in just a moment. Stay tuned.